Thank you, ladies. After the joys and blessings of the 1,000-year reign of Christ on this earth, the millennium are over. God has some unfinished business to tend to. And the unfinished business is with every sinner who has ever lived. It is called the Great White Throne Judgment. The last group of human beings who are going to be judged before eternity begins, every person who has ever lived and died in their sins. I don't know how many of them there are. There are probably billions of them. All of them in the Old Testament, all of them in the New Testament days, all of them one day will stand in front of the great white throne as recorded in Revelation 20. 11 through 15, and they're going to hear the judge of all the earth speak these four words, "I never knew you." Billions of them standing in the courtroom of God. The court is going to be in session. On that day, there will be no jury. There will be no defense attorney. There will be only the judge of all the earth, Jesus. He is the only judge who sits on the real Supreme Court. There will be no pardon, no probation, no appeal. The final verdict is going to be rendered. And I got some good news for you. If you're saved, you won't be in this courtroom. If you've been born again by the grace of God, you will stand in front of the judgment seat of Christ mentioned in 2 Corinthians 5 to receive your reward. This judgment is for every unbeliever. I won't be in this courtroom because in 1971, I settled out of court. I came to the cross. I was washed in the shed blood of the Lamb. I want you to join me in Daniel 9 before we look in Revelation 20 for a moment. Daniel, forgive me, chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7, beginning in verse number 9. I think it's an amazing thing that Daniel, which is the revelation of the Old Testament, wrote this book long, long before John penned Revelation down, and yet Daniel saw the same judgment John did. It's amazing how similar they are. Daniel chapter 7, and read verse 9 with me. Daniel, the 7th chapter. Daniel is one of four major prophets, and his book is filled with prophecies of the future. And in Daniel chapter number 7, read verse 9. Daniel saw the great white throne judgment as well. "I watched until thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated." You know who that is? Jesus. "His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened." John said in Revelation 20, the books were opened. I want you to notice to begin with the setting for this judgment. Look in verse number 11 of Revelation chapter 20. It says in verse 11, "I saw a great white throne." White is the symbol of purity, holiness. Seated on this throne is the holy judge of all the earth. I think the reason this throne is mentioned in verse number 11 as the great white throne is because on this day, the pure judge of all the earth is going to judge everyone who died in their sins. And on this day, the one seated on the throne is as angry as he has ever been. Jesus on this day goes from the God of grace to the God of judgment. He's the one who's seated on the throne. Listen to what Jesus said regarding judgment. He said, "All judgment has been given unto me. God has given his Son, the Lord Jesus, the right to judge every human being." In front of this throne are all the unbelievers of all the ages. And they're going to stand there and look Jesus in the eye. I'm going to tell you, this unbelieving world, listen to this, is not going to stand one day in front of Allah or Buddha or Confucius. This unbelieving world one day is going to stand in front of the only one worthy to judge the world, and that is the Son of God. And on that day, Jesus will have the last word. In fact, in verse 11, the anger of Jesus on this day is so prolific and so profound that according to verse number 11, the earth and the heavens will flee away out of fear of the one seated on the throne. Listen to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. We'll talk about this again in detail this evening. One day the earth and the heavens will pass away with a great noise and fervent heat. They're literally going to melt in the presence of the one seated on his throne. Look at verse number 12. John said, "I saw these unbelievers." He describes them in three ways: dead, small, and great. What does he mean when he calls them dead? Well, they're spiritually dead. They died years earlier, and they went to hell. Now they stand in front of the great white throne, and they are dead in the sense that they have died in their sins. Let me tell you something. You're going to die one of two ways. You will either die in your sins, or you will die in Jesus. One of the two. You will either die having had all of your sins forgiven by the grace of God, or you will die with every sin you have ever committed still on your account. What's it going to be? I'm telling you again, on June the 12th, 1971, I settled out of court. I came to the Savior. He forgave me of all my sins. I will not stand in front of this great white throne and give an account for my sins because my sins are gone. They are forgotten. The one who died and shed his blood for me has eradicated all of my sins and iniquities. And so these stand in front of the Lord Jesus, and they're a terrified group of people. Dead spiritually, small when compared to the greatness of the one on the throne, and then great, do you see that word, meaning those who were kings and prime ministers and the who's who of society, the rich, the powerful, the poor, the insignificant, they all stand in the courtroom of God. Wicked people will be there on that day. Moral people will be there on that day. Moral people who died having never trusted Christ as their Lord. Atheists will be there on that day. Baptists will be there on that day who died without a Savior. Hitler is going to be there on that day. Stalin, Saddam Hussein, and maybe one of your neighbors, one of your friends, one of your relatives. Everyone will stand in front of Jesus alone. And listen to the reason they're standing there. Not for what they did, but for what they didn't do. Do you know why they're in hell today? Do you know why they're going to stand in front of the great white throne one day? for what they didn't do. They didn't come to Christ and receive Him as their Lord and Savior. So the setting for this judgment now gives way to the standard of the judgment. Look in verse number 12. God tells us that books are going to be opened on that day. And underline that word in verse number 12. It is in the plural. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and books, plural, were open. I have shared this with you before, but listen to me again. As I try to advance the concept that on that day there will be three books that will be the standard of judgment for every unbeliever who stands in front of Jesus. And here's the first one. I call it, in fact, God calls it, a book of remembrance. Now, we don't have time to turn to Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. But trust me, Malachi, the prophet of the Old Testament, said that God in heaven has a book of remembrance. And do you know that Scripture tells us that in that book of remembrance for the unbeliever, this is not the case for the Christian. Because when you came to Jesus and you trusted Him as your Lord and Savior, God forgave everything, but not so for the unbeliever. On that day in the book of remembrance, and just write these verses down, time won't permit us to turn there. The unbeliever on that day is going to stand and give an account for every word ever spoken. Matthew 12, 36, Jesus said, every unbeliever will account for every idle word they have ever spoken. In the book of remembrance is every word ever spoken by the unbeliever. Every profane word, every blasphemous word. Can you imagine having to stand in front of the Lord one day and give an account for all your words? You won't have to. They've been forgiven. Not so for the unbeliever. Secondly, Matthew chapter 10, verse 26, listen to the words of Jesus, where He said, every thought that has ever crossed the mind of an unbeliever is going to be revealed on that day. Jesus said there is nothing that is hidden that will not be uncovered. So on the day of the great white throne judgment, every word, every thought, and then thirdly, every deed ever done. Revelation 20, verse number 12, look at verse 12. It says very clearly, they are going to stand before God. Books were open. The dead were judged according to their works by the things written in the books. They're going to be judged for their evil deeds and works. So stop and process that concept. Every thought, every word, every deed done by the unbeliever, every evil action. Secondly, there is not only a book of remembrance. There's what I call a book of righteousness. Listen to Romans chapter 2, verse 12. Paul said on the day of the great white throne judgment, God is going to judge the unbeliever by this book. Not only a book of remembrance where every thought and every word and every deed and every action done by the unbeliever is going to be revealed to the universe, but number two, a book of righteousness. Paul said God is going to judge the unbeliever by the gospel, by the word of God. On that day, the unbeliever stands in front of Jesus and this book is going to be opened. And here's the question. God is going to say to the unbeliever, did you measure up to this book? And the answer is no. No unsaved person can measure up to the standard of this book. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so there's the book of remembrance. There's the book of righteousness on the day of the great white throne judgment. Thirdly, a book of redemption. Look in verse number 12. It is called the book of life. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. Now, I want to, again, because I have to do this constantly, I hear this from Christians, I hear it in gospel songs, I hear it in sermons by well-meaning but misled preachers who stand and preach in error, and we sing songs that are not theologically accurate, that when you become a Christian, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that is patently untrue. Nowhere in the Word of God does it say that when you become a Christian, God writes your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. It does say on three occasions in the Word of God that your names can be blotted out of the Book of Life if you're an unbeliever, but it never says when you're saved, your name is written in the Book of Life. That sounds good. It sings well, it preaches well, it isn't in the Word of God. Let me tell you what the Book of Life is. It is a book that contains the name of everyone ever conceived. When a soul is conceived in this world, their names are entered into the Book of Life. And if by the time they die, they don't become Christians, they don't come to Christ, when they die, their names are blotted out of the book. Never does it say that when you're saved, your name is written in the Book of Life, but it does infer in Scripture that when you die without a Savior, your name is blotted out of the Book of Life. And so when these unbelievers stand in front of Jesus on this day of judgment, their names have been blotted out of the book. They do not appear, look at it, Revelation 20 and verse 15, anyone not found written in the book. When you become a Christian, your name is left in the Book of Life forever. Thirdly, there's not only the setting for this judgment and the standard for the judgment, I want you to notice in the third place the summons that is given to every unbeliever. Verse 13. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. I wonder how many thousands and tens of thousands of people have died at sea. They've drowned. Wartime, ocean liners and ships sinking. Their bodies went into the great abyss of the ocean. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. Well, you say, what happened to their body? Well, it just ceased to exist. It just broke apart. It decayed in the ocean. But the God who made that body knows where every proton and every atom and every neutron is, and He's going to bring it back together. The bodies will come from the sea and the grave, because look at verse 13. The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell, death there means the grave. The grave will deliver up the dead who were in it. This is the resurrection of the unbeliever. We Christians have a resurrection coming one day. We're going to be given a new body. But the unbeliever on the day of the great white throne judgment, he is going to be given a body that he will spend eternity in the lake of fire in. And that body is going to come forth from the sea and from the grave, and it's going to rematerialize in front of the great white throne. The soul had gone to hell the moment of death. Would you look again in verse 13? Hell delivered up the dead which were in them. So the body comes out of the grave on the day of the great white throne. It is reunited with the soul that died and went to hell upon death. Let me remind you again, the hell beneath us is not eternal. When someone dies without Christ this day, tomorrow, next month, next year, They die and they go to hell, which is beneath us. But that is merely a temporary holding compartment until the day of the great white throne. On that day of the great white throne, the soul will come out of hell, be reunited with the body, and stand in the courtroom of God. Number four, look at the sentence that is going to be passed down in verse number 14. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Do you know what Paul said about death? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, the last enemy that is going to be destroyed one day is death. Death is going to be thrown one day into the lake of fire, and so is hell. Imagine something as large as hell being thrown into the lake of fire. Now look at verse 14. He called the lake of fire the second death. The unbeliever has two deaths coming. If you're here today and you're without Christ, you're going to die a physical death. Maybe tomorrow, maybe in 50 years, but you will walk one day through the valley of the shadow of death. Here's the problem. Not only do you have a physical death coming, if you're an unbeliever, you have a spiritual death coming. He called the lake of fire the second death. Let me tell you what I've got as a Christian. I've got eternal life. I will live forever in heaven. The unbeliever is going to have eternal death. Imagine living for all of eternity in a permanent, eternal state of death. Would you listen to this? If you're born once, you're going to die twice. Did you know that? But if you're born twice, you'll only die once. If you're born only one time physically, you're going to die physically, but you're also going to die spiritually forever in the lake of fire. But listen, if you've been born physically and then you've experienced the new birth, the second birth, if you've been born again, you're only going to die one time. Because Christ has promised you eternal life. Now I want you to notice the nature of this judgment. Just make a note here. These people stand in front of Jesus to give an account for their sins. When I stand in front of God one day, I will give an account not for my sins, but for my service. God has forgotten all of my sins. They're gone. He has cast them into what He calls in the Word of God the great sea of forgetfulness. He said, I will remember your sins against you no more if you've been born again. Not so with the unbeliever. He stands and he gives an account for all of his sins. There will be no mercy on the day of this great white throne judgment. These people have been in hell for years. Their soul on this day is drug out of hell. And they don't get a second chance to be saved on this day. Their sins are in question. All of their sins will be thrown up in their face in front of the universe and remembered against them. Notice the names of these condemned. The Book of Life is going to be opened, and their names will not appear. They're standing there, and imagine the grief as the Book of Life is opened. And at one time, that name was in the Book of Life because they were counted among the living. They were living on this earth. But when they died, their names were blotted out of the book. And as they stand there, their names are no longer there, they've been erased. Every lost person in history stands in front of Jesus on that day. Now, maybe you're wondering, how long is this judgment going to take? Pastor, if there are billions of people to stand individually in front of Jesus on that day, how long is this judgment going to take? Here's the answer. It doesn't matter. Because eternity is ready to begin. Tom will be no more. There will be no clocks. There will be no calendars. God has all the time He will need to patiently look into the eye of every person who has ever lived and died without a Savior. And on that day, the words of Matthew 7:21 will be fulfilled. Jesus will say to them, "I never knew you." You know what He's going to say to me on the day of the judgment seat of Christ? Father, He's going to look His Father in the eye. He's going to stand there on the day of the judgment seat of Christ where Christians will appear. And He's going to be my defense attorney. You see, these unbelievers on the day of the great white throne, they have no attorney. They stand alone. Jesus, on the day of the judgment seat of Christ, will say to the Father, "Father, this is Bill Bigham, and he is my child. I saved him on June the 12th, 1971. He's one of my own." And then the Father is going to say to me, "Bill, enter the joy of your Lord." He isn't going to say that to the unbeliever. To the unbeliever, Jesus will say, "I never knew you." Notice in verse 15, the never-ending torment of the unbeliever. Can I tell you that if you're not a Christian this morning and you die in that condition, this is your eternal residence. Verse 15, anyone not found written in the book of life, cast into the lake of fire. I've tried to make a case in front of you before from behind this pulpit that I think maybe, I'm not dogmatic about it, can't be sure, can't be certain, but maybe the lake of fire is going to be the sun. Do you know that in Revelation 21, 23, you're right there in the neighborhood, look in Revelation 21, 23, where God, in talking about the New Jerusalem, said the city has no need of the sun. You know why the sun isn't needed in heaven? Because the son is there. And He will illuminate every square foot of heaven, the New Jerusalem. So maybe, just maybe, the lake of fire is going to be the sun. You know what the sun is? It's a ball of liquid fire. Maybe the sun is going to be the eternal residence of the condemned. And on that day, according to Revelation 20:15, the words of Jesus in the ears of the unbeliever, "I never knew you," will begin to ring for all of eternity as the angels of God cast every lost person who ever lived into the lake of fire. And there they will spend forever. Do you know where you're going to spend forever? In a place called the New Jerusalem. And tonight we will look in Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. At a place where there will be no sin, sorrow, sickness, suffering, or even Satan. Tonight we begin a 5-week series called There's No Place Like Home. Bow your heads for just a